welcome to Celebrating Success. Thank you for joining me. I'm Pauline Barclay, author of 9 published books. My latest is a cozy mystery, Past Secrets and Lies, the second in the Gardner and Chataway Cozy Mystery series. I'm also the founder of Chill Awards for Independent Authors. Celebrating Success is about meeting a variety of people from all walks of life and interests. Today on Celebrating Success, I'm delighted to be talking to award-winning author Harry Fisher. Harry writes page-turning thrillers. So please sit back and welcome my wonderful guest.
Hi, Harry. Thank you very much for joining me. And before we go any further, can I just say a big congratulations on the 2 awards you've received in the last week for your book, Yes, I Killed Her.
Well, thank you. First of all, I'm delighted to be on. Thanks for inviting me, Pauline. And yes, I Killed Her has won 2 awards, and it's the first 2 awards that I've ever won at all. So I was chuffed to little mint balls.
As they say. And of course, you're an award-winning author now, and you have 3 books published. The one that won the 2 awards, Yes, I Killed Her, is the second in your D.I. Mel Cooper mystery thrillers.
That's correct.
Tell me a little bit about book 1, and then we can talk about book 2, because, well, there's a lot in book 2, and I'd like to know a little bit more about how that came about writing it.
Okay. Well, here's book 1. It's called
Be Sure Your Sins.
Be Sure Your Sins, yes. It's a biblical reference. I had written my first book, my very first book, which is called Way Beyond a Lie, and didn't have any success attracting an agent or a publisher, so I self-published it. I thought I'd written my book and that was me finished, I wasn't going to do any more, but it's difficult to stop the stories coming, as you're perfectly well aware, and Be Sure Your Sins came along. I'd made a mistake with Way Beyond a Lie in that I thought that once I self-published it and it was getting great reviews, that I could go back to agents and say, look, I've published this now, what do you think? But a very friendly agent dropped me a note to say, I'm afraid it doesn't work like that. You'll be lucky to find anyone who's interested in that because it's no longer bright and shiny and new off the shelves. So what I suggest you do is you crack on with writing your second book, which turned out to be Sure Your Sins, and then make it as good as you can and submit. So that was what happened in the end. But in the meantime, lots of people who'd read the first one, Way Beyond a Lie, were basically badgering me to say, come on then, when's book 2 coming out? So I produced a version of Be Sure Your Sins and I called it 666. And the reason I called it that is because it's about 6 people who suffer 6 events that destroy 6 lives. So I finished it, I designed the cover, I did all the typesetting, I got it printed and I distributed it to all these people who were after book 2. And at the same time, I began to submit it back to agents again. The first one went to 25 agents before I gave up. The second one went to 42 agents before I gave up. But then my publisher, Hobeck, appeared at the very death and agreed to publish Be Sure Your Sins with a new title. I didn't want it to be published as 666, so that all the people who had supported me had something that was not quite unique, because it was 300 of them, but it wasn't out there. And so we republished it as Be Sure Your Sins. It went through the editorial process. And in the first book, my now lead character, D.I. Mel Cooper, and her sidekick, D.S. Andrew Young, they were secondary characters in the very first book, Way Beyond a Lie. And lots and lots of people said, we love these characters. You have to give them their own series. So they became the lead characters in Be Sure Your Sins. And now the second book, Yes, I Killed Her, is the second one in the series, also published by Obeck Books. Something I would like to say, if you don't mind, just before we go on, Way Beyond a Lie has been published for free this week, and last night it was number one in all of the Kindle charts.
Wow! Well, congratulations again.
Thank you, thank you. It's still,
you've had quite a week, haven't you, Harry?
I have indeed. Yes. Anyway, so that's where Be Sure Your Sins fitted in. And as you say, I've been delighted to win two awards for Yes, I Killed Her.
Now, on your book, which has been awarded these two awards, Yes, I Killed Her, it's an amazing book in the fact that it was the perfect crime. And in fact, the perpetrator really did his homework to make sure it was the perfect crime.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have to do to find all that information? There's a mass amount of information which is condensed into this book and makes it so believable.
Right. I'd always been fascinated by the concept of the perfect murder, but I was thinking about Poirot and people like that, who only had their wits and their powers of observation to try to solve the crime. Then I began to think about, well, these days there's CCTV everywhere, there's forensic science, there's digital forensics. We all have an electronic footprint, you know, that gives us away, our movements, our phones, all the rest of it. And I began to think, actually, how do you do it now that with all this stuff? And that became a fascination as I began to figure it out. It's called Yes, I Killed Her. We find out on page one that he did, in fact, kill her. So I'm not giving anything away there. It's written on the back of the book that Edwin Fuller kills his wife. And then I discovered it's not called a whodunit, it's called a howdunit. Now, I thought, my publisher, Rebecca, was winding me up about that because on the day that she mentioned it, it was April the 1st. But it turns out to be a genuine genre term, if you like, or subgenre. It's not a whodunit, it's a howdunit. So the trick was in trying to create this murder where he would actually get away with it. Now, he's a fastidious type of guy, very meticulous. And he took his time. He took maybe about 9 months to work it out. And really, every time he came across a stumbling block, he just worked his way around it. I used a lot of information that's out there in the press, for example. There was a tragic story about a woman who was murdered in Edinburgh, maybe about 6, 7, 8 years ago, I'm not sure. They never found the poor woman's body, but they convicted her ex-lover of killing her purely on the basis of digital forensic evidence.
And you use that quite a lot in your book. You look at digital forensic evidence, and it does actually open your eyes to just how much we are actually open to everything. There's so much about us which we think, oh, I'm wearing a sports watch and I know that's got GPS and so that picks me up, the phone. But we don't realise just how much of a footprint we are leaving just by being awake and here.
Yes, and moving.
Yes.
And then, you know, your car gets picked up by ANPR. And in the previous book, I'd been looking at ANPR. So those were originally the blue cameras that were on motorways and trunk roads throughout the UK. But ANPR is now a more inclusive term for things like council and commercial CCTV, garage forecourt CCTVs, even down to the Ring telephone systems that people have on the doorbells that they have on their door that take photographs, you know, off the street. And you will often see criminal cases where the police are still investigating and they will ask people to forward any film they have, not just from their phones, but from dash cams, and also from the ring systems on their doorbells. So I just began to pick up more and more and more of these things. And my character, Edwin Fuller, he researched the same things. He knew about them too. And he just then had to work out, right, how do I actually get from A to B? Because I tell you in page one that he dumps the woman's body in the boot of his car to get rid of it. I just don't say at that stage, you know, how he got rid of it or what happened when the police eventually found his car. But he had to circumvent all these issues that he knew the police would come up with and find a way of stopping them pinning the blame on him.
And he was absolutely excellent at doing all of this. And, I have actually read the book, Harry, so I know. And I found it intriguing that he was so meticulous and he actually got away with it. But, and I'm not going to say any more because I don't give anything away, but, and if people love thrillers and how so complex you can be to create the perfect murder, then they must read, "Yes, I Killed Her," because it really is beautifully written and it certainly gets you going as to, because the reader knows everything, but of course the police don't know this. So you've got this, as you're turning the pages, yes, but I know that, but they can't prove it.
That's the thing, and that was the same with this tragic case in Edinburgh and the west of Scotland recently, because that was, you know, they think he deposited her body somewhere in the forests in Argyll, and that was exactly the same thing, that, you know, the police were pretty sure it was him but couldn't actually prove it, and it was a way of circumstantial evidence that did actually. You've mentioned a few times about the amount of detail, and yeah, there is a lot of detail, and a lot of my books all rely on some form of technology to underpin the story. It's not on the cover of the paperback, but you might have spotted it on the ebook cover. I managed to convince the Scottish crime writer James Oswald to read the book. Now, James has a 12-book series, which is highly successful, and he is an ex-number one Kindle, you know, for sale book. So he writes lots of books and is incredibly successful. And he's also a full-time farmer, believe it or not. But anyway, I managed to convince him to read Yes, I Killed Her, and if he liked it, would he endorse it? He did like it. He did endorse it. He said he would recommend it to everyone. But in the letter he wrote to me, he said he thought one of the things he liked about it was he thought I'd got the information just right. It wasn't an information dump. It wasn't so overwhelming that people would get turned off or that he would get turned off. And quite a few people who have submitted reviews on Amazon have said similar things, that there is a right amount of detail. It is technical, but I wasn't lost and I didn't feel overwhelmed by it. So I was very gratified to hear that, because it is quite difficult to explain everything I was trying to explain without boring the reader to death, basically, with technology. So I'm very pleased that, you know, people have recognised that, yes, there is detail, but it's just the right amount and it isn't overwhelming.
Yeah, I have to agree. I totally agree with what he said. It's very well balanced. There's a lot of story there, but there's also the technical, and it's not technical really, it's just part of the story. But is it just enough there to you, so you can understand what he's done and how he did it?
Yes.
I just thought it was for a perfect balance. And I know there's a mixture of people, male and female, would read your book, because it's for both audiences, because some books are more based on a female reader and others on a male, but yours covers both. I mean, it's perfectly balanced.
Thank you. I'm very pleased you've said that. Thanks very much.
And now book three. When, tell us about book three. Because we need to know what's happening now with AI Mel Cooper. We hope she's still keeping very busy.
They say, well, book three is still an idea rumbling about in my head. I haven't quite got there yet, but they do say to authors that you should try to do something different with each book. If, you know, I wouldn't want to read books myself that kept churning out sort of regurgitations of the same theme all the time. So my first book was about financial fraud. The second book was multiple crimes. The third book was The Perfect Crime. The next Mel Cooper book, I'm thinking, might be a split timeline. I'm originally from Leith, which is the port of Edinburgh, for people who are not familiar with the area. Leith has obviously its port, it's got docks, but I also went through an incredible amount of regeneration in the late 60s and the early 70s, around about the time I was at school. So I'm very familiar with it. And my idea at the moment is to have a crime in the present day that dates back to something that happened in the 60s, round about the time of all this regeneration, when buildings were being knocked down and concrete monstrosities were being built with plenty of places to hide a body.
Well, when it's published, are you going to come back and tell us all about it?
I'd be delighted.
Great. Well, we're all looking forward to that, Harry. In the meantime, for the listeners, Harry has three books. Please check them out. They're in Kindle and on Amazon. And Harry has his own website. Harry, can you give me your details of your website, please?
It's all lowercase, all one word, harryfisherwriter.com. And the Fisher is F-I-S-H-E-R. But if you look on Amazon, you'll find me.
Brilliant. So now, listeners, you can go onto Amazon and find Harry, and you can go onto his website and find out all about him. He's got a super dog, by the way. Can you just remind me the name of your dog, Harry?
My dog's called Harry.
There you are, you see. What a good name.
And I should say that a little bit of the story, my name's Alan Fisher. I have never, ever, ever in my whole life met another Alan Fisher. And when we came to publish the first book, I did a quick check and, believe it or not, found an Alan Fisher in the north of England who writes crime thrillers.
No. Yes. What kind of a coincidence is that?
So my wife came up with the idea of it being Harry. We had another name too. I put it out to the vote and Harry got the vote. And in actual fact, we're very pleased about it because Harry Fisher is a bit more gritty and a bit more crime thrillery than Alan. So, yeah, Harry got the vote, therefore Harry Fisher.
Fantastic. What a lovely story as well to how you got your name. Well, Harry, thank you so much. I know you've come to talk to me today at short notice, but I fully appreciate it because I so wanted to congratulate you on your two awards, which you received last week. And that's fantastic because it's a fantastic book.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to talk to me today. It's been wonderful. And you will come back and talk about book four, please.
I would be delighted. Thank you very much. And thanks again for inviting me on.
Thanks, Harry. Take care. We'll catch up very, very soon.
Cheers. Bye.
A huge thanks to Harry for joining me today. And a special thank you to my listeners. I hope you enjoyed meeting Harry and learning what's behind the thinking and research in writing award-winning thrillers. As always, a huge thank you for joining me, and I can't wait to share your company again very soon. Until next time, I hope the sun is shining on your face and in your heart. Don't forget, you can find out more about me on my website, paulinebarclay.co.uk. Ta-ta for now.